Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and happy St. Patrick's Day to all of our listeners out there. Scott Spears along with you on this Thursday morning, St. Patrick's Day, March the 17th, 2022, 13 minutes past the hour, 42 degrees and sunny here in Marion. And it's going to be a great day. I'll be on this morning until 10 a.m., followed by Glenn Coble, who will be on from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m., and then Adam the Computer Guy today from 2:10 until 3 p.m. But we're going to kick off the morning this morning with a guest who's been with us several times before. She's always a lot of fun. She's up in Toledo, Ohio. She called me a few weeks ago with quite a story to tell, and she's going to tell that story here this morning in our first hour. She is Prophetess Opal Covey. Opal, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine now. I'm out of the hospital. I spent 41 days there. And I'll tell them about it, and I am getting my strength back, and I'm doing okay.
Well, Opal, just tell us the story.
The story is this. I have cracked, I'm a detective also. I really crack things open. But I have cracked open a big guardianship scam ring at the probate court involving the big shot, Puffenberger, and the magistrates. Now I'm gonna start really quickly. I've got my notes here, and how I got in the hospital and things. Okay, it's a scam, and what they do is they work on people who are under guardianships, and they've got their. You can write this down. It's called Lucas County Guardianship Services Board. And there's a phone number, only one phone number I can get a hold of her right now. I haven't talked to Bonnie since last November.
Now, Bonnie's your sister.
There's a phone number, 419-213-2240. Now, I've called that number. And they're holding Bonnie, my sister, hostage. So I'm going to back up a little. Why are they holding Bonnie hostage? Okay, there's several of them involved. And about 5 years ago, I brought Bonnie here to live with me, for me to care for her. She's mentally ill. And I got along pretty well. And not really well enough, because they took my guardianship for nothing. And they put false claims on there. So anyway, they took my guardianship and gave it to another man, a lawyer, which his name is Eicholt, Bill Eicholt. And I worked with him about 3 or 4 years, brought her here to the house. Then all of a sudden, hell broke loose. Bill is one of the Klan, the scammers. On the 9th of July, I took Bonnie to the ER room because she was complaining. She needed a medical report. And within hours, this phony guardian, Bill Eicholt, he's a lawyer, he tried to get Bonnie out illegally from my presence, and I caught him in the act. And when I caught him in the act, he resigned from the case. Okay, so but I went on ahead. They had taken Bonnie's phone away from her. I understand it. They kept her in the hospital for a couple of days, and they took her phone. I couldn't talk to her, and started doing things, to her that was wrong. And so, come to find out, he had behind my back, which I am. I am the caretaker, that I have power, and I'm licensed. And so he couldn't, he shouldn't do something like that without alerting me, because she lives at my house and pays rent. Okay, so everything is all in order, but I called up there and couldn't get a hold of her. And I have to tell you this to show you what happened. And I caught him, and the social worker, he didn't talk to Bonnie about moving or anything. And the social worker gave Bonnie back to me, and I took her home. Well, nothing happened between July the 9th and November the 25th. On November the 25th, one day after Thanksgiving, why I was, I had gone to a dinner at Christ the King the day before. Bonnie had been not going with me nowhere, and she was telling me, I'm going to get out of here. I said, Bonnie, there's no reason to get out of here. You've got everything you need and more. And I put up with that from July to Thanksgiving, the time I'm talking about. And I kept saying, no, Bonnie, you know, you've got it made and everything, and was very strong with her. She says, I want the pay. I want the money. And so I said, what is happening, Bonnie? Who is this person that's wanting the money? You want to go live with him and give him the payee? You're trying to take it away from me, and I have no authority to take it away. Only Social Security does. So I said, go see Social Security. Well, she knew she wouldn't get it if she did, because she's incompetent. So anyway, that was the beginning of it. And I can tell you really quick how they put me in the hospital. So I wouldn't comply to what Bonnie was saying. I want the payee. I want the payee. And I want the money. I said, no, Bonnie, I cannot do that. You have to go. Social Security is the one that appoints people and gives the money out. Well, I went through that all up until Thanksgiving. And then I went to eat. And during all this time, she is not going shopping with me. She stopped all affiliation with me. She would just come in here to the table and eat and go back to bed. And so something dreadful was wrong. And I couldn't stop it. And so anyway, the false guardian, Bill, that they put in my place 5 years ago, which they shouldn't have, but they did. That was the first scam that we went through, but we didn't realize it. But we knew it was bad, and something was bad at the court. So Puffenberger, who is the head over the whole thing, he signs these papers, and he signed this guardianship that I'm going to tell you about. Okay, so I went through all of that hell with my sister, and I couldn't. There was no way that I could do it. I said, Bonnie, I am here to cook your meals because you can't cook, and I'm here because I own the house. The house is mine, and I rent it to you to stay here and take care of you because I'm a woman of God, and I'm licensed and everything. And now these are the things I do for you, and I've been appointed to do that. Okay, I couldn't get her mind off the money, because behind my back, when I went shopping for groceries or something, she wouldn't go with me. She wouldn't do nothing with me. And what she was doing was getting in touch with the scammers, and she did not know that they were real scammers. And she said, I got to have to pay you. I said, now, Bonnie, who is this you're going to live with? You got plenty of issues. She said, this guy. Okay, that really, really told me right then what she was planning, that she was going to give the money to the guy. And I said, no, Bonnie, that's wrong. You're supposed to stay here and get good things. And so anyway, I ministered to her the best, you know, that I could. And so it didn't work. I didn't go very much to the grocery, but when I did, somehow she got a hold of these scammers. And it's call Lucas County Guardianship Services Board. They form a coalition that they call that, and they register it with the probate court, and Puffenbarger signs for this evil to go on. He signs for it, and he allows it. Well, he took my guardianship 5 years ago without any problem at all. I had no problem, no complaints, no nothing, except faults. And so anyway, this is how I got started. So then on Thanksgiving Day, after all appeals I made to my sister to get rid of this guy and stay where you belong, where you get service and good food and everything, you cannot go on your own without Social Security. So anyway, I had gone to Christ the King Church. All of this was, I'm playing it out the way it happened. And the next morning, after I went and ate, and Bonnie would not go with me, and I couldn't make her. She's 73 years old. And so I went to the church, came back the next morning, which was the 26th of last year, I took a shower. And I'm getting to the point where what they did to me. So I didn't know that any scammers was on my premises. I heard some digging outside or whatever. You got to know, I didn't hear, I didn't know that they were trying to attack me to kill me. This is what it was all about. So since I wouldn't give Bonnie the pay, which I had no authority to do, then she got rougher, and the guy and her coerced together and did this to me, put me in the hospital. So anyway, the next morning I took a shower, was getting ready to go shopping for some heaters and, you know, stuff for the house, and I came out of the shower and I'm standing there talking to Bonnie. And she's kind of smiling, you know. She didn't talk very much to me, but my phone was dead, and I couldn't understand my phone being dead. And then after I got out of the hospital, I found out that a tree limb had landed on it, and I had no phone to call anything. And so that morning that I got out of the shower, now here comes how I suffered. I got out of the shower and I'm standing there, and I don't have any clothes on. I'm nude because it's me and Bonnie. And so anyway, I was talking to her about getting the phone restored, you know, that day. And all of a sudden, it was like a crash from a plane, airplane or something, came over my head and started hitting me. Boards was hitting me, and I didn't understand that. I just put my hand up and pushed everything off of me the best that I could, and screaming, you know. And my sister was in front of me, and she was pushing it off of her too. She may not have known that they were going to use that kind of demon to try to get rid of me. And so the next thing that I remember is that I pushed the best that I could. I've never found out what all of that garbage was and how they got up in my ceiling. They got up in my ceiling over my bathroom, and they poured something over me, so then I went out. What they poured over me was that stuff. Let's see what it's called. It's a knockout powder, chloroform. And I had been smelling chloroform in my house for two, three days, and telling Bonnie, I smell something funny. It's something like medicine. So they were planning it for a good while, and Bonnie must have had this chloroform on her fingers or something. And I told her, I said, there's a smell in here that is kind of medical. And so when they poured that directly on my head, and they must have smeared the chloroform over my mouth and my breathing, I went out like a light.
Now, Opal...
They picked me up. Now, I've done all of my research on this. They picked me up and put me up over the washer in the bathroom in the loft, you know, the ceiling. You have the ceiling, and then you have boards. Well, the next, when I woke up, I was up over my sister, and she was walking under me. They put me up over the lighting, the washer, and everything. And so I'm laying there, and they put me on my belly, and naked, see? And I'm hurting, and I'm yelling, and I'm saying, Bonnie, Bonnie, get me some help, get me some help. She didn't want to get me help because she was in on it. She had planned it with this guy for months, how to get rid of me. And I told him, there's no way you can get rid of me except through channels, you know. The SSI was going to be taken from her if she left here, and what the circumstances was. And so anyway, she wouldn't listen. She wouldn't listen. And she wouldn't do what I said do. She just said, falsely accusing me that I could give her the pain. I said, no, I cannot give it to you. You have to go through channels. And she knew that. Well, anyway, I'm laying on my belly, and I'm hurting. I'm really hurting. And I tried to move out from and under those boards that was holding me down. Now, how they got up there and did, they had to pull part of the ceiling down. It was pulled down. The hole was there over my washer. And then I looked around, and I said to myself and the Lord, I've got to look and see what I can see and what I can remember.
Now, Opal?
And here, Opal? The wall was down.
Hey, Opal?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, now who...
Are you going to say something?
Yeah, who is this that it's in your house? How many people...
Wait a minute. I can't hear you.
How many people are in your house at this point?
Just me now, but it was Bonnie.
Right,
just
but
Bonnie.
So there was nobody there with the chloroform?
No. Somehow they broke into my house, and when I'm standing there talking to Bonnie about the phone, I mean that's when it poured. I didn't hear. Nobody was in my house. I don't let nobody in my house unless I know them, okay? I keep the front door locked and barred when I leave. I keep the back door barred. I keep the back door shut and barred, and nobody can get in the house unless they tear those doors down. And I had not let nobody in the house. This is strictly from the court. The court is playing their game with the coalition, and they call themselves a coalition, and so anyway, I finally got help, and I screamed. I said, Bonnie, I'm hurting, and so finally she said, I got you some help, and thank God the mailman was coming to deliver my mail at the time this happened, and he saw commotion at my house. And he knew I was a godly woman. He called 911 right then. That's they were trying to kill me with this chloroform, is what they were doing. And then one climbed up on my washer and spoke to me and said, "Do you take medicine?" And so I thought, well, geez, that's really crazy. Maybe it was the EMS. I don't know that. And so anyway, the EMS called. They came, and my mailman walked into my house, which he knows me well, to see what was going on. And he saw me lying on the floor, passed out, barely breathing. And I go down in tears to see that my sister went this far with scammers. And scammers, they had a plan for me. They had a plan. They couldn't get rid of me by Bonnie harassing me and telling me to give her the money. They couldn't get rid of me. All of the tricks that she pulled before that, and then they decided to kill me. That was the only way they was going to get me out of here. Come to find out, they were doing all of this so that they could get my house. And nobody can get my house but God. But anyway, I just threw that in there. The reason they wanted that money, and they wanted to get Bonnie's guardianship, which they did. And I got to get back to me laying on the floor. Okay, I was lying on the floor. The mailman saw me lying there with a blanket over me and passed out, barely breathing. And boy, the mailman is going to get a reward for saving my life. He was the one that saved my life. And chloroform, if you don't use it correctly, it can kill you. If you use big doses, remember when I was little, I remember chloroform, and they dissects animals and stuff, but they only put just a little drop of chloroform in it. It is that potent. Well, I don't know how much of it they gave me, but I was going in and out. I was passing out, and then I was coming back too. Well, they took me to the hospital, and my sister never visited me. Nobody ever visited me that's in the scams. I found that out. And the phony guardian, he never came to take care of Bonnie, which guardians are supposed to when things happen. They're supposed to come and make sure that they're okay and everything. But he never entered my house to come and take care of things. While I am lying in bed at the hospital, and the phone was taken from me at the hospital, except for a phone call from Bonnie, and I had two cats in here, just two, and my beautiful cats were in their cages, and I told her where the food was. I was coherent enough to tell her that and tell her where the dog food is. I have one dog and two cats. And so the dog was yelping, oh, so badly, but he was yelping for me. I just fed him his breakfast, and he wanted me to come out and pick up his bowls. That's the way I did every morning, feeding his breakfast and then bringing him in the house, and it was cold. So she didn't do that, and the guardian didn't show up, and they called the Humane Society, and the Humane Society came and got my dog while I'm laying there in bed and trying to it was to get my strength back. They fed me stuff in the hospital without seasoning and stuff to get my brain working again and memory, you know. And when they did this to me, I went in total shock from head to toe. And so that's why I had to stay in the hospital until I could function properly from head to toe. And when I got to that point, it was the 41st day, and I just ran out of that hospital. I didn't even tell them hardly goodbye. And I came home with a taxi, and when I walked in the door, I saw a note on my door from the Humane Society saying, come within 10 days, we'll give you your dog. And this is where I want to tell all you people, don't trust the Humane Society, don't trust the police, don't trust these officials, because they have got bad stuff for you, and they did for me. So here I was, knocked out in the hospital, and, coming back and forth, and I sleep a lot, you know, because that makes you sleepy, and the nurses took care of me 24/7, because it was that serious. And brought me back to life. And so I got better and get better. And then the time came that I couldn't even walk when I went to the hospital because this chloroform had knocked my, you know, faculties for a loop, my walking and everything, and I had to get a walker to even walk. But that was restored. My walk was, I regained that before I left the hospital. And I regained my eating regular food. I couldn't eat regular food. And so, and they took care of me very nicely, the nurses did, at St. V's. And so then the doctor came on the screen, and this is a good part I want to tell you about all of this happening that put me on nationwide television. I've already been there from my hospital bed. All of a sudden, well, the nurse came in. She says, "Do you mind talking to the doctor?" To the doctor by screen, you know, television. And I said, "Oh, that's fine." And after he talked to me and everything, all of a sudden I saw my picture on the corner of the screen and about 25 or 30 ministers listening to me in a circle. I was preaching to them. I preached to them about the end time and everything. And even one preacher who is a minister here at a church, I can't think of it right now, but anyway, a very well-known preacher was there, you know, egging me on, saying, "Oh, yeah, wonderful, wonderful what she's preaching." And so the Lord just blessed my tongue, and then I was on television again. I mean, that was down south, Georgia, and all those places that I was preaching. Cedar Creek, I saw Cedar Creek pastor there. And so that was the first preaching. And then they came and put me on another preaching program, like, you know, Channel 40. And I preached to them. Oh, messages that I preach, you know, everywhere I go, your show and everybody's. And about the Lord coming and great things are going to happen, all that. So I looked up and I saw my picture on the corner again. And the moderator was there. And then when I said, "Well, I'm going to have to sign off right now," I knew that I'd preached enough. Well, he grabbed the microphone and started his story. But I was on nationwide TV three times while I laid flat on my back in the hospital. And they said it. They announced it and said, one of the preachers is lying on her back in a hospital. Is hospitalized, and there they had my name and everything, and I'm just waiting for things to come forth. But anyway, I wanted to tell that, and I laid in bed for 41 days. I had no thought in my mind to get up and go until it was over. So I was worried about my animals. And when the time came, the girl came in and took my test, and the Lord had restored all of my happenings in my body. Everything worked fine. She said, "You're great." And I said, "Okay, that's it. I'm leaving." I left the hospital without asking nobody. I knew it was time to go, and the Lord was showing me it's time to go. And she even jumped up in the air when she saw that I was healed completely. And I jumped up from that bed, and I literally was praising the Lord for restoring me, my faculties and everything. And I took a pillow, and I threw it up against the wall, and I said, "I won't need this anymore. Just praise him," you know. Then I ran out of the hospital, ran down to the desk, and they had to go down to the thrift shop and get me some clothes to put on to come home. Well, I'm going to go back to coming home. Okay, so I came home in a cab, and I went to the front door. And when I left here, I didn't leave with anything, my purse, my keys, nothing. And so I saw this blue tag, and this is from the Humane Society, and I have no use for them. They're no good. They'll squeeze you out of your animals, lie to you. This is what they did to me. And it said that I could have my my lady. Her name is Lady, and she is a Australian cow dog, and she was protecting the property. She's a protector, and very dear to me. And here she had picked up my dog, probably. The guardian, the false guardian, probably called her, because he never came out to see about the cats or nobody. And he didn't place Bonnie. He did place her by phone. This is where she's been locked up ever since Thanksgiving, ever since this happened. She has been locked up in a place called St. Luke's on Monclova. And they have kept her in there to keep her from seeing me because she would want to come home. And so I started getting in, when I came home, I started getting in touch with the Humane Society. I went down to get my dog and we had conversation and she wouldn't give me my dog like the paper said. And so I talked to her and it got pretty rough not giving me my dog. And so anyway, I came back to the house. I went down there about four times, and I'm going to be suing them, by the way. And so I said, "Do you have a cell phone?" But at that time, I didn't have one. She said, "Yeah." I says, "Would you call my carrier, Buckeye, and tell him to come out because my phone's not working?" And she said, "Sure." Now I'm showing you people how the Humane Society works. They got a trick for everything that you say. And it was a young girl called a cruelty officer, and she could not find no cruelty that I did because I was in the hospital. And the guardian was supposed to come out here and take care of my house and Bonnie and put her, you know, let her be here, provide her food and everything while I'm in the hospital. Well, he didn't do nothing except being mean. So anyway, the humane cruelty lady, when I came in the house to get the phone number for Buckeye, when I went to the door and she was gone, she took off. And then her next step was she wanted my dog. And it wasn't cruelty or nothing. Food was even in my car, 45 pounds of food that I had already told them. You can get it out of my car. It's unlocked. And they didn't even do that. And she didn't take care of, she took care of my dog, but for herself. And so anyway, the fight started with Humane Society. So now I'm up on my feet, out of the hospital, and I open, look at my door, and the Humane Society is saying, "You can have your dog back." And then when I come back, she's gone, and then I had to start fighting. And I walked into the house, and I'm telling you, I could almost pass out again. These scammers and Bonnie had trashed my house so badly, I'm telling you, so badly, that it was awful. I took out about seven garbage cans full of garbage, like pop bottles, cookie paper wrappers and all of this where they ate. And I had plenty of food here and cans and stuff. And they just had a party in my house. And that's when the scammers came in again. The woman, there's a woman named, one of the scammers, she is named Chris. So if you ever call that number I gave you, ask for Chris and say, "How is Bonnie doing?" Well, Bonnie's going to get out of there pretty soon. I'm prophesying. So anyway, I had to start cleaning up the house, and I rushed to the cages of my cats, and one of them was already dead. They had starved it to death, and the food was sitting in front of the cage. And that's when the guardian should have been out here and checked to see if there was any animals, because Bonnie was living in the whole house. She was renting a whole house with me. And so anyway, and then I took, got a cat named Booger, and he was screaming for Mommy. These animals were screaming for Mommy, and so was the dog. I heard him in the background. He's screaming, "Feed him, feed her, feed her." She had a doghouse out there that was fully lined, and she couldn't freeze to death even if she stayed out there. But they should have brought her in the house, give her plenty of food, and the cats plenty of food. They didn't do anything. And that's the one of the scammers is Bill Echo. Eicholt, E-I-C-H-O-L-T. So then he came in the picture as being one of the scammers because he tried to steal her back in July. And now he allowed the scammers to come in my house. And he was supposed to be here taking care of Bonnie. And then he could lock the door and come back every couple of days to make sure she's all right. Or call her. He couldn't call her. But anyway, I came in the house. I checked on my animals, crying. I still cry when I think about it because one cat was worth $1,400. It was given to me. And here she lay dead in the cage. And the Humane Society didn't do anything about it. And they already knew months ago that I had two hens because they were out there and said, how many cats you have? I said, two. And they already knew it. And they tried to get that cat from that kitten, $1,400 kitten, from me at that time, and I said, no, but can we come in, or can you bring it to the door? That's how the Humane Society works with people. Don't obey them. Don't allow them in your house. Don't allow them on your property. Put up no trespassing. Humane Society, stay off. Do everything you can, because they think they're God, and they can do anything they can do and get away with it. Well, anyway, I went through that, and finally, and I got up all of the garbage. And I went to there was a guy, a neighbor, that went to the back and was checking to see where I could get in because I left and my keys were here. And the back door was open. Back door was open. And anybody could have come in. And there was nobody here. And so my bedroom's right close to that door. And I looked at my bed, and guess what I saw? I saw where these scammers had cleaned off my bed, because I leave clothes laying there. They had cleaned off of my bed, and they found my purse. My purse had $500 in it, because I was going to go shopping for the house. And they didn't touch the $500. Now, I want to put your brains to work that's listening to me. Why didn't they go through my purse and get the money? They didn't want to hear anything bad about them, see, because I would have exposed that. And so I picked up my purse, and I looked over on my bed stand, and I had some things on there that, you know, were valuable to me. Not too valuable, but a little money dish or whatever. And anyway, they had cleared that off and put, and I'm telling you guys all of this so you'll know scammers when you come into them. They laid my keys to the house and cars, everything. They laid my keys there. So they set me up. They figured I'd be coming home pretty soon. I was still in the hospital. You know, when they was in here, and they shouldn't have been allowed in here.
Hey, Opal, who? Opal?
Anyway,
Opal?
I picked up my stuff, and I started rehabilitating, pulling my cat out. He wasn't quite dead, and starting feeding him every so many hours. And I prolonged his life 5 days, and I'm just heart sick over what they did.
Hey, Opal. Opal.
I'm getting ready.
Yeah. Opal.
I'm getting ready to go to court with them. But I want to tell you this. This has got to be told over the air. When I went to pick up my animal on the fourth trip, the director, Stephen Evan, he had told me 5 days before that he was going to give my dog back to me. And I said, oh, fine, I'm very happy. And he said, don't you worry, you're going to get that dog. Says, I don't want to be in court, and I'm sure you don't want to either. He knew I was desperate, and so I left. And so I was doing everything, what he told me to do. And then I went back 5 days later, and I walked in the door, asked to speak to him, just to speak to him about getting the dog back. And the lady, they lie. And the lady said, he's not here. And I knew he was. So I spoke to her, and I said, well, she said, he's at the other place. I said, well, I'll just sit down here in the waiting room, and I'll wait for him to come back. You know, they close at 5, and this was about 2:30 or 3. And I said, I'll just wait. You know, I want to talk to him. And before I knew it, within seconds, that guy appeared in front of me, and it was exactly what I said. They lied. And the cruelty worker was right there too, that lied also.
Hey, Opal.
Said I could have my animal.
Opal.
At the door, and she did. And so her and him buffeted me right to my face, almost spit in my face, and yelled at me and said, you're not getting your animal back. You're not getting your dog back. I says, what? Just 5 days ago you told me it was. And as soon as I said that, they said, call the police. And I had no choice. Police came, two policemen, and they started questioning me, and this is the way the police do. And they said, did you hear him tell you to leave? And before I could get my mouth open, I didn't know if I did or not because of all the screaming. They were screaming at me.
Hey, Opal.
And he told him to get behind the counter.
Opal.
And the police literally took hold. I was sitting of my hands, my wrist, literally took hold of me and got me up and put handcuffs on me. And here I am, a senior citizen. See, they're not supposed to do that. And ushered me out the door. I had done nothing wrong. I just said I want to speak to him, trying to say it. And they ushered me out the door, dragged me from the Humane Society door, clear across their front door, over the sidewalk, and over the rough pavement. They dragged me with handcuffs on, and then I fought them tooth and nail, and I fought them off. And I said, get out of here, get gone. I told the police, get these handcuffs off of me. And so they didn't for a while. And then I said, listen, I got work to do at home. Get them off. And then he unlocked the handcuffs that was on each of my hands. And that still hurts.
Hey, Opal,
and
Opal.
I'm gonna sue him.
Opal.
And
can you hear me?
The two couldn't handle me. The two policemen, mommy policemen, couldn't handle me because I was fighting them so hard, kicking and doing everything. Get out of here. Get off of me. I've done nothing. And so three of them couldn't do nothing with me. One at the back, two on the sides. See?
Hey, Opal. Opal.
And so
Opal, are you there?
I've already been to court once, and I'm home and getting ready to sue them for that and the guardian for those things. And I have found out where Bonnie is, and I have worked hard exposing these animal people at the Humane Society, and I never want to do nothing. They gave me a no trespassing paper. I said, don't worry, I'll never be there. I'll never be on your property again the way you act. No. I said, you don't have to even give me those papers. And so I put up a fight with them, and I won. And I went to court, and so I had to pay $238, but I got out of their place and did what I could do. So now I'm getting ready to file, and my next step is I got on the magistrate downtown probate. This is operated through the probate court. The scam is, and I don't think I have enough to tell you all about
that. No, hey, Opal, operated. Opal, can you hear me? Now, we only have 2 minutes left here to go, so very quickly, who is
tell
out?
The ending.
Yeah, well, who's out to get you?
Who's out to get me?
Yeah.
Well, Bonnie's got a lot of jealousy and stuff in here, but it's not so much as who's out to get me. It's that Luke, St. Luke. And you know that Danny Thomas hospital, they all operate that way. They if one thing don't work, then they use more power. See, and that's what they did. The last resort that they could get out, and they told it that we're going to take her house, Opal's house, and put her in a nursing home. And I said, oh, yeah, let them try it. And so that's what they do. They take the guardianship, and they've already taken it. And they take the person. And see, the person was out here, Bonnie, and in the house. So they rushed out here. Bill called them. Bill Eichel called them and had them to come out here. They weren't supposed to step a foot on my property having a guardian, okay? And so it's not that they want to just kill me. They wanted the payee. Now they've got the payee.
Well, Opal, we're out of time here. We'll have you back on. I thank you for coming on and telling your story.
Okay. Just one other little thing.
Very quick.
One other little thing. On the 30th of this month, I won the magistrate over. And he's a believer, and he has got me an appointment set up 9:30 about getting Bonnie out.
Well, best of luck, Opal. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, you want to talk about St. Patrick's Day? I don't think the luck of the Irish, unfortunately, is with Opal Covey. But she called, she wanted to tell her story, and there you have it. Do with it what you must. Sounds like her sister's gone, her dog's gone. It would be a good country song, in a way. I didn't even need to show up this first hour. I could have stayed in bed another hour. Holy moly, we'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't you dare switch that dial for love nor money. This is WWGH Radio. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio, the place for all the big events. For Scott Spears and Terry Tackett at the 2016 World Series in Cleveland, Ohio, as the Cleveland Indians face the Chicago Cubs. Now, how is this all going to end up? How many games are we going to play in this series?
I want to say